Musings of the Mick, talking about board games and related stuff. Oh, top of the pod to you. This is the last pod before the best holiday of the year, St. Patrick's Day. And in honor of that, we have a loosely related topic. There has been an abundance of crowdfunding campaigns launched in the last couple of weeks, so we're going to look at those. And how it's loosely related is all those people are looking for their pot of gold in funding, maybe with a bit of luck even. And obviously, since that is the topic, that will take the place of our normal crowdfunding segment. Never fear, though. We are going to still review a couple of games, so that will still be here. So it may be a little shorter, maybe longer. We'll see how long I ramble on about those crowdfunding campaigns. And then speaking of those reviewings, let's get on with that and the musings. All right, this episode we are back to reviewing two games. The first game we're going to review is Take a Seat from Salt and Pepper Games. This is a new iteration in the whole verb and write genre. This is a share and write. What that means is each person has their own personal theater boards, and there's going to be these reservation ticket boards that go back and forth depending on what round it is. And each person is marking off little boxes in the different areas of tickets. And then when it comes back to you, you're going to be having to draw those shapes if you choose that ticket. So these shapes are slowly changing over time. And so you can't necessarily plan for a shape to come back and be able to use that specific shape because someone's going to possibly use it as well. You're doing all this to fill in all your seats, score some objectives, get some area majority on each ticket. And there are also these usher bonuses that are either bonus points or allow you to change the rules in some kind when you go to place a piece. So then you get points from that. This game plays over 14 turns, and as I said, has four objectives and the points from the ushers. So this one is super thinky because you're having to really kind of look at the shape and think how might it come back to you, or if it does come back to you, what are you going to have to fill in next to fit where you want to go? They all have different colors, which means they have to have at least one seat of that color in the shape when you put it on, unless you get one of those usher powers that changes it. You also can't flip and rotate it unless you use a power. So just kind of really figuring out, oh, this would be perfect flip, but I don't have it on this board. My next board has the flip, but it doesn't have the shape I want. So just that going back and forth gets a little crazy. In fact, there is a ton of analysis paralysis in this game. It just shut Bri down quick. She was just staring and staring and trying to figure it out and moving and counting and manipulating and just trying to figure it all out. This game also can be unintentionally mean, because when you're filling in those squares, you can just completely screw over your neighbor. You don't mean to because you did it for your own, but it just comes back and you're like, oh, are you kidding me? So there is that unintentional meanness in there. Overall, though, I enjoyed it. Bri, not so much. She's not keen on getting it to the table again. So that means, guess what? I'm going to try it solo, and I may be recording that here soon. Keep an eye out for that. The other game I'm going to go over is an older game. And it's an iteration of an older than that game. And then that was even an iteration of an older than that game. And this is Thunderstone Quest. So it started off as Thunderstone, then became Thunderstone Advance. Now it's Thunderstone Quest. This is a dungeon crawl deck builder from Alderac Entertainment Group, AEG. This one, for the deck building genre, does that static market that Dominion kind of does, where you have these set cards. These are what you're going to be able to buy. There's not going to be a big deck putting out random cards. Kind of. There is one in the dungeons, but we'll get to that. But the actual cards you can buy for your deck, it's all static. You know what it is. You're going to buy these cards, put them in your deck, use the cards in your deck to either buy more cards or to go to the dungeon, which is where you're going to fight monsters. Those are kind of randomly placed. You choose certain groups for each level of the dungeon. You shuffle them up. And then you deal two out, and then when one gets defeated, you deal another one. You're going to have keys in those decks. Once you reveal a certain number of keys, that is when the round does end. And then you get one final round where you either take a normal turn or you go ahead and fight the boss, which will give you more points typically than other things. So this game is a bit more strategic when it comes to deck building, and you can really think out your process because, yeah, your gold might not necessarily allow it, but you can look and go, all right, this hero works well with this equipment, so I'm going to load up on this hero and this equipment so I can do that. Or you can choose a couple different ones, or you can just try and do everything and see how well that works out for you. Probably not as well as if you focus. So as I said, that allows you to build more of those combos and make sure you have that synergy. It can be a little repetitive since the cards are the same and you're not getting those new cards flipped over. So that could be something to look at if you don't like having that static market. If you prefer the more dynamic, diverse market like Bri does, then this one might kind of grate on you. But she still is playing again because this game does have a ton of expansions and cards out there. And they each kind of have the stories, so you can play through these stories, which change up the market, and you play through it. So you can just constantly swap out your market. You always have to have two weapons, two spells, two items. And then there's two additional spots that you can put other stuff. So, I mean, you do still have eight cards. And like I said, tons of content. So this is one that will definitely be hitting the table again. Thunderstone Quest. Now we're going to move on to our topic right away after the reviews. And we're going to start with the currently running Kickstarters. All right, so as I said, a lot of Kickstarter campaigns have happened since we last talked, and a lot more are coming up, so it appears we are entering the crowdfunding season after a brief lull. So let's go ahead and look at some of those games, and I'll give you a glimpse into the future of what we'll probably be covering next episode in our crowdfunding campaign, although no guarantee, as there is the abundance of projects. So let's start with some of those currently funding Kickstarters. The first we have is Logic and Lore from Weird Giraffe Games. This is a two-player logic and deduction game. They sent us a copy to do a preview, which you can find on our channel right now. What you're going to be doing in this game is you need to line up your number cards from 1 to 9 by asking your opponents questions. You're going to have the numbers in front of you, and then your cards are going to be mixed up and face down. You are going to move them around on your turn, the face down ones. Then you're going to flip two up, and then you're going to ask questions. Are they aligned, which means is at least one of them in the correct spot? Are they neighbors? Are they symmetrical, which means do they add to 10? And finally, which one is greater? So using all this information, you then are going to try and move them around between 1 and 9 and see which spot fits better and where it works in, and then get those aligned and try and do that before your opponent does. There is an option on your turn that at the beginning of your turn, after you move your face down ones, you can try to align the stars, and that is flip over all of your cards. If they're all in the correct spot, you win. If any of them are wrong, you lose and your opponent wins. So when we first played this one, Bri was not overly keen on it. She's not big on the deduction games, although we have played it a bit more and she is starting to come around. However, I will say that the youth absolutely adores it, and they are constantly asking to play it again and again, and we usually play three games whenever we do. The other great thing about this game is it is at a very affordable price point for the amount of game you get. You get a ton of game in here because it is just constantly changing. Yeah, the questions can be the same, but guess what? A more advanced option where it's you change up the questions and you're putting out your little dragon meeples, and those are the only questions you can ask. So then there's a whole extra level of strategy added. There's black holes, which add even more questions and maneuvering. So it isn't just a simple deduction game. You can add in so many other layers. They also have a few extras you can add onto your pledge, as in all those dragon meeples in a variety of colors. Or they have a bundle where you get Wicked and Wise, which is the universe Logic and Lore takes place in, and that game is a trick taker. So that is Logic and Lore from Weird Giraffe Games. The next game we're going to look at is Flow, which comes to us from Pika Games, which is an imprint of Fantasia Games. Fantasia Games is known for making these games that put all these different mechanisms and have this fantastic production quality, and this game looks no different. You may have seen the ads for this plastered all over the place. They have done a really good job advertising this game. When you check out their Kickstarter page, they have a table of what does this game pertain to and how much of this is included in it and what is it not. So this they list as a sandbox style game, a 4X style game, modular, competitive, solo, cooperative. It is not a take that game. There is no point salad and there is no legacy aspect. In this one, you'll be placing a hero and then taking an action. You can then take an action with your familiar. And I'm sure there's a ton more to the game than that because this game is massive and beautiful. The art and table presence is just fantastic looking. you're going to be traveling across the iceberg sea, taking actions and doing a ton of different stuff. They also have it where you're going to be unlocking content as you play. It isn't a legacy aspect per se, more as introducing more game mechanics as the game goes on. Or you can just choose to unlock it all and play everything from the get-go if you think you can handle it. There is a basic edition of the game and a super deluxe, fantastically produced edition of the game with like minis and game trays and acrylic stuff, I'm pretty sure. So a ton of just upgraded bits in that super deluxe edition. Flow from Pika Games. Now we're going to do two games that have a similar type of mechanism between them. First off, we are going to go with Cascadia Rolling. That comes to us from Flat Out Games, the same company that did Cascadia, amongst others. This is a puzzly flip and roll and write, according to them. So these are two versions. They both are coming in small boxes. It is a value bargain just for one, but you can get both for even cheaper, so that's like an extra value bargain. This is a proven company for quality and game design. We've enjoyed all of the games they've played, and it looks like an interesting twist on Cascadia rules, because you have the cards that score different for each animal, you're maneuvering in the different terrain types, and with the different animals, and as I said, there's the two different versions, so if you get both of them, then you just start doubling your content. So it does look fantastic. So it is for sure going to be an instant back for us, for we love Cascadia. It's one of the youth's favorite games, probably. It was one that I honestly didn't think was going to hit with the family. I thought the bride was going to be very AP with it, but no, she actually went through it pretty quick. I was quite impressed. So Cascadia Rolling from Flat Out Games. So in that same genre of kind of writing stuff, we have En Route, En Route is what I'm going to go with. And this comes to us from Crowd Games. In this one, all of the players are going to play cards, and that will determine where and what gets drawn. So whoever the active player is will play a card face up. The person on the left and right will play a card face down. Next to that card, you'll reveal the cards. The active player will discard one, and then using those two remaining cards will determine what gets written where on your map. These maps are based on real cities, and each one plays and feels different to kind of immerse you in that city in and of itself. For a flip and write type of game, there is quite a lot of player interaction. There is also more control and lack of luck than typical, because you're not rolling a die, so you're not just, you know, having the die decide your fate. You are playing the card, so you can always make sure you, when you're the active player, you know at least one of the cards that will be played, and then go off of that. So again, En Route from Crowd Games. So those are the four that I really wanted to highlight right now going on Kickstarter. Coming tomorrow on 3/5, we have Etherstone from Thundergriff Games. This one has some cool looking art, lots of cards and chains and synergies. You're going to have your choice of five actions when you take a turn. It uses dice, and you can either draft your hand of leaders or use pre-made sets. This is one that we were hoping to get a preview copy of. Unfortunately, we weren't able to, but it's one that we're going to be looking at because it just looks like there's going to be so much content in this game. The other one launching tomorrow is Idea. Improbable Dungeon Eccentric Adventures. This is a dungeon crawler, however it focuses just on the corridors as opposed to the whole dungeon or the rooms. It has a parody feel, but still has a deadly element. We did look at the rulebook. It seems large and rules heavy, although it doesn't seem overly complex. I think they just want to cover bases as you do with dungeon crawlers. Art and gameplay does seem intriguing, and it uses dice to determine actions. And as you all know, I love me some dice. Launching on March 12th is Inventors of South Tigris, the final in this trilogy from Garfield Games. I don't know much about it, but based on our history of Garfield Games, it is an insta-back. I believe this is supposed to be lighter than Scholars of South Tigris, which will work good for us because that game does kind of seem intimidating. So again, those are four current running Kickstarters and three that are coming up in the next couple weeks before I talk to you again. So expect to hopefully hear more about those in the next episode. Next up, we are going to talk about some stuff on GameFound, the other crowdfunding platform that is out there. Since the beginning of the channel, we have had a buddy named Pippi McDyston, and he has been sent on a crazy and massive adventure. While playing a game of Shelfie Stacker, he was sucked into a portal. That portal dropped him into the worlds of board games. Along the way, he has settled onto an island with some animal friends. He has also traveled to mystical lands, space, and various other locales. And to top everything off, last year, he became friends with a massive space octopus. Confused? Well, check out the videos of his Season 1 adventures on our YouTube channel, and you won't be. Another good way to stop being confused is to check out his Twitter, X, at Pippi McDyston. His adventures have just begun anew in Season 2 by taking on explorers from Ravensburger. So follow his Twitter and our YouTube channel to be alerted to his next adventure. And also check out our YouTube channel to see those previous adventures. So now we are going to cover some game found projects. I did misspeak in the last section. There is one other. It's a Backer Kit has their own crowdfunding platform, although I don't know many that are coming out on there right now. So we are just going to focus on Kickstarter and game found. So first up on game found, we have Inferno. So this was a little bit of an odd thing last week or two ago. Two different games based on Dante's Inferno came out. There was a big boss battler miniature one. We were interested in that one. This one, however, is a worker placement game where you're sending souls to hell. And then once they are in hell, you're going to be moving them down to the different layers of hell. And that's going to determine where you can go when you put your workers out. Also, you're trying to get the souls to the proper level of hell based upon their sin. As I said, this is based on Dante's Inferno. So you do have all those different layers based on that book. This is a deluxe edition of the game. There will be a retail version coming out later this year regardless. In fact, in the US, I believe it's being handled by Grand Gamers Guild. But this is basically what they call the Yes Edition. When you do a retail edition, you have to kind of cut things out, make it cost effective where people are going to want to buy it, and you're going to make the profit, and things are going to work this way. This is their Yes Edition, where do we want to put minis in it? Yep. Do we want to put this in there? Yep. Do we want to put this in there? Yep. So that means it has some awesome looking deluxified bits and bobs. In fact, the soul meeples, they're planning on laser etching a symbol in them, cutting it out so it matches the different sins. They're going to be screen printing minis. Like I said, they're going to have miniatures. It's going to look phenomenal. And it just, the game itself looks like it's got some cool levers to pull, because you're going to be going out and getting stuff with your workers. Then you're also going to be accusing people and having them hung to send their souls down to hell. And when you do that, you want to do that so that you can move them around and get to areas you're going to want to go. So it just kind of seems like this cool thing. And because of the theme, the youth is interested in it. I doubt they'll play it because it is a more involved, in-depth game, and that is not their typical purview. So Inferno by Red Mojo Games. Next up, we have Candy Hunters. I forgot to write down who this is by, but we have Candy Hunters. This is one where you're going to be placing tiles in a main area and then moving ghosts around. And you're going to be putting those tiles down because you have these pattern cards you want to match in your hand. So you're putting those down to try and match that pattern. You're going to be gaining these little tiles wherever your kids are located on the map after they get scared away, and then those flip over and become candy. This is a very low price point for a fun-looking seasonal game, and they are planning on having it to us by Halloween so we can play it. They also have a couple other games that they've previously released that are part of this campaign that you can get this whole bundle of. So Candy Hunters. Next up, I did cover this in detail last episode, but it's still presently going on. And that is Conservas from Salt and Pepper Games. This is a bag builder designed by Scott Alms. A solo-only puzzle with like a teeter-totter game where you're going to be pulling stuff out of the bag, filling your fishing boat up, and putting some in the sea, and you want to put them in the sea so they can have babies to keep your bag replenished so you don't overfish the sea and then have nothing else to go, and then you'll be losing. We've been playing quite a few Salt and Pepper games lately because they just fulfilled a couple of crowdfunding campaigns. As you heard earlier, we have Take a Seat. We enjoy that. We played the Battle of Versailles. We want to play it a couple more times so we form an opinion, because one side plays different than the other, so we've only played it once. So we want to see how it goes on either side. But Conservas does look really cool. You got Spiralbound book. They'll be changing the different scenarios. And as I said, it's designed by Scott Alms. So that is just a go for us as well. So those are ones that are presently going on. I'm sure there's a couple I've probably forgotten that we have going on. But now I want to cover some that are coming up soon. One that will be launching on the 5th. And then others that will be launching in certain quarters of the year. Which one of them, because it'd be quarter one, should be this month. So launching tomorrow, we have Meeple Inc. I have a very in-depth, detailed review of this going up on the channel based off of all the knowledge I had, such as the rule book and pictures and all that. But this game is by Cogito Ergo Meeple. I hope I pronounced that right. This is a crazily produced worker placement game. This is a game about making board games. Very meta. You're going to be putting your workers out on like up to 60 some worker placement spots to get components and research and designers and publisher, basically all of the stuff you need to make a game. And then you'll publish the game and you can put it up for rewards, and that's how you get some points. The components alone make this game worth checking out. They have a buildable little wood shelf that looks like a calyx that you'll be putting your board games on. The board game are little boxes, and you put the components in the actual game, put the lid on, and then you can put those on the shelf. You have metal awards. You have acrylic standees you can get. You have easels for your company's cards. Just the table presence alone on this is just going to be staggering. So we are very intrigued and enamored by this game because, yeah, it looks beautiful and gorgeous and stunning, and there's tons of games that look like that, and then they fall flat. The gameplay of this one looks like a really cool in-depth worker placement game of having to grab components and people to get the board game to the level you want, and then all those different spots, and then the different spots you might have to pay to go to some of them, but a lot of them also give you an action. So it looks like there's going to be a lot going on and a lot to kind of push and pull and maneuver around in this game. So Meeple Inc. is one you should definitely check out. In fact, if you hear this on Monday before the 5th, you can go and follow the campaign to get a free enamel pin when you back it. So again, Meeple Inc. Now we're going to cover four games that will be coming up at some point on GameFound. These were announced in Awakened Realms' next announcement. So what do they have planned for the year? We're going to start out with Puerto Rico Deluxe. So they are planning on launching this crowdfunding campaign in quarter three of this year. This is their next game in their super deluxified updated versions of a Ravensburger game. I mean, they did such a great job on Castles of Burgundy. Hint, we may be talking about that soon. We have never actually played Puerto Rico, but I know it is considered a classic. A lot of people love the game. It's just one that we haven't gotten around to. Because I believe it's better or only plays three. I can't remember for sure, but I know there's a reason why we haven't really played it yet. That Puerto Rico was number one at one point on Board Game Geek, and it is literally still at number 44. I know it's a pretty old game at this point. So if you are a fan of Puerto Rico, or if you're a fan of Deluxe Games, if you're a fan of both, then you definitely need to check out Puerto Rico Deluxe. You can go and follow the campaign now on GameFound. Another one you can follow on GameFound is the AR Vault, Heroes and Conquerors. In case you didn't know, that probably stands for Awakened Realms Vault. Last year, they started this series with the Story Dice, and these are components and things you can use for your tabletop role-playing game. So the Story Dice kind of had different faces where you can use them as dice or use them to roll up encounters, all this, and they were sculpted and crazy-looking and cool. This one is for miniatures. So Awakened Realms makes fantastic detailed sculpted miniatures, so now they're making some for use for your tabletop role-playing games. The dice will be available through this campaign again as well, and they should be very detailed miniatures in a wide variety, knowing Awakened Realms, and it'll probably have a bunch that you can unlock. But that, again, is scheduled for quarter one, so I'm assuming by the end of March, because typically quarter one is January, February, March. So again, all of these you can follow the campaign on GameFound and get updates and then be knowing when it launches. Up third, we have Grim Coven. This is scheduled for quarter two, so that would be April, May, or June. This is a boss battler set in a dark Victorian universe. It's not going to be per se a campaign play or legacy aspect. It's going to be a modular gameplay with about a 2 to 3 hour gameplay in it. You're going to have dice allocation and roguelike character building. Of all the announcements that we saw, this is the one that interests us the most, with just the dice allocation, the rogue building, the fact that it's not campaign or story driven. There's just that modular gameplay. And Bri really kind of likes that whole dark Victorian universe setting. So this is one that we are following and probably will be checking out here when it launches. And finally, as I said, we'll probably be talking about this soon. They announced that they're going to be doing a reprint of that super crazy deluxified version of Castles of Burgundy. And that is also scheduled for quarter two. This edition of Castles of Burgundy is so over the top. I don't know if you need to deluxify this game that much. We did, because I love the game. But it does feel fantastic to play this game with all the acrylic bits and the slightly larger terrain tiles and or duchy tiles, all of those. You have the miniatures if you really want to do that. So you just have these castles and then you can just fill in everything. In fact, if you check out our channel, you'll see I did a solo play with the Super Deluxe Edition, including the miniatures, so you can see how that all looks. If you really like this game, it definitely elevates the play of it. All the gameplay stays the same, but they do have all the different expansion maps. They added some new elements like a vineyard. They changed up to solo, so you have a different solo option. So it definitely does add other stuff to it besides just making the game super pretty. I will say the cardboard tiles, though, that they did release with it, I found were a bit better than the acrylic ones. They did release a print thing where you could print up stickers, basically, to put on the back of the acrylic tiles, because the cardboard tiles, when you draft or when they had those, if you flipped them over, it told you what they did. And that was just a really cool element that we still have the cardboard tiles because we may play with those at some point. We do really enjoy our copy because it adds that super deluxe crazy feel. But that is all the crowdfunding news I am bringing to you today. As you saw, quite a lot of campaigns going on, a lot coming up here in the next week, 2 weeks, couple of months. Speaking of what's coming up, let's see what's coming up on this here channel. So what's coming up? What's in the boxes? Yep, mobile plays, possibly. Solo plays, indeed. For those solo plays, we will be continuing and then finishing Chapter 2 of My City Roll and Build. We will also be heading out on the third expedition in Monster Expedition. I'm going to be doing a review of a very popular game that's being talked about all over the place right now, and I talked about it myself even last episode, and that will be Wormspanned. As far as the LEGO builds go, I take back over this time, and we are doing an animal build, but not Minecraft related. The mobile play will be a newly released game on the computer this time, Quilts and Cats of Calico, which is a mobile version of Calico, by Flatout Games, who we said does Cascadia, that I mentioned about earlier. And that is about it for all our YouTube stuff. And so now the time for ramblings will end with the outro info as follows. Feel free to drop by the YouTube channel or any of our other socials and let us know what you like or don't like nicely. Those socials are Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Merry Married Meeples. On Twitter X, we are at Merry Married. We are also part of Blue Sky Now at Merry Married, although we haven't really been looking much on that yet. Also, be sure to head over and check out our Patreon. Link is in the description down below. In 2 weeks, I will grace your airwaves with a topic I will probably come up with last minute. If you have any suggestions, feel free to head over to those socials and let me know. So until then, enjoy your days.